Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby, your host, and this is a podcast where we take a look at the crazy world around us through the lens of Scripture, that is to say, a biblical worldview. And I am sorry to say that today's podcast is called Biola Has Fallen, or at the very least, Biola is Falling. And what is Biola? It is the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, home to the Talbot Seminary as well. It is an institution with a storied past, a wonderful history, over 100 years old, and it is an incredible institution. Or was, what happened? In a word, compromise. Compromise of biblical integrity, compromise of biblical values, eroded gradually and then suddenly. Gradually, then suddenly. That's a quote from Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises. A man is asked how he went bankrupt, and he replies, two ways, gradually, then suddenly. And I am afraid that is the story of too many formerly good Christian religious institutions and universities. They start this very subtle drift, and then gradually, and then suddenly, they wind up in a place that many could not have envisioned. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Biola and its toleration of the intolerable. Biola has a very good statement of faith, but its orthodoxy is compromised by its orthopraxy, its practice. What do I mean? Let me share with you from an article published in Higher Education Magazine in 2015, where about Biola toughening its language on same-sex relationships and transgenderism. The magazine noted that the public and some of Biola's employees were startled by the language. Biola published this statement. Biola has long had a traditional statement of faith and a code of conduct restricting sex to opposite-sex married couples, and new employees, faculty and staff members must pledge their agreement to the statement when hired and then periodically. Higher Ed Magazine wrote, a new request to employees, not faculty members, who sign annually, resulted in some people seeing the new language in the statements, which they hadn't necessarily reviewed since being hired, that made them fear for their jobs. One of the statements that troubled them in 2012 says this, biblical marriage consists only of a faithful heterosexual union between one genetic male and one genetic female. Biblical marriage is the only legitimate and acceptable context for a sexual relationship. Higher Ed Magazine then noted, Biola officials say this statement, while more clear than past statements, is consistent with what appeared in prior documents and does not reflect an actual change or action. The other statements made last year state, quote, any act of sexual intimacy between two persons of the same sex is immoral, and the statement bars, quote, the adoption of psychological identities discordant with one's birth sex, or attempts to change one's given biological sex via medical intervention. These things are barred. Let's pause here and make a quick observation or two. Why would these things trouble employees who worked there? Weren't their beliefs sufficiently screened? Why would the idea of same-sex marriage being immoral or unbiblical be troubling to them? Well, because they probably were asleep at the switch when they hired many of these people, only holding their faculty to signing off on these policies and the statement of faith. So they sort of let these people creep in unnoticed. But let's put this aside for a moment. The fact of the matter is that was then, and that is not the case today. Reading now from the present student care and conduct document of Biola, we read this, and I'll be quote. This will be a rather long quote. We recognize that it is healthy for students to process their sexuality and gender as part of their growth and development, and we provide spaces for healthy conversations. Does that sound worrisome to you already? It continues. We also recognize Biola's view of sexuality and gender raises unique questions and challenges for those who experience same-sex attraction, experience dissonance between their biological sex and gender, or identify as LGBTQ. Of course, these people would not be able to sign off on a biblical statement of faith and enter the university because Biola requires a credible testimony of faith. Or do they? The statement continues. We commit to support and learn from one another in grace and truth, respecting each other's dignity as God's image bearers while also honoring God's intentional design. That sounds a little fuzzy. Let's continue. As such, when joining the Biola community, students agree to refrain from engaging in behaviors and romantic relationships that are inconsistent with Biola's position on marriage. We also ask that transgender individuals refrain from the process of medical transition during their time at Biola. Students who wish to engage in such behaviors or relationships will be referred to the Department of Student Care, which manages adherence to Biola's community standards. What about expelled? The document continues. We seek to be supportive, developmental, and redemptive in the lives of individuals involved, and we will offer support, resources, and accountability to strengthen the student's ability to flourish within the Biola community. Students desiring to live in a Biola-owned housing will be placed based on their sex at birth. However, as issues connected with sexuality and gender are complex and layered, we will walk with students on an individual basis who identify as transgender or experience dissonance with their biological sex and gender in order to provide a helpful support to arrive at decisions around facilities use and offer appropriate accountability. Can you pick up this language of accommodation? It's like we're accommodating. You say tomato and I say tomato, or you believe in infant baptism and I believe in baptism by immersion. But this is talking about fundamental morality and sexuality here. Let's continue reading their statement. Due to the complexity of human experiences related to sexuality, gender identity, and same-sex behavior, same-sex attraction, and sexual orientation, we are committed to engaging this conversation with courage, humility, prayerfulness, and care. Now, think about this. Humility? What does that mean? Does that mean that the Bible can be compromised? What courage? This is a black and white issue. This is a black and white issue. And yes, prayerfulness, because you're trying to help this unsaved person, this disturbed person, this transgender person, come to terms with the need for Christ. And this is a person who probably should not have entered a Christian university or be admitted if anyone in admissions was paying close attention to what this person wrote or said. Now, that does assume that they filled out their application truthfully. But the fact of the matter is the language is already the language of surrender, because they're going to talk to them humbly about their sexual deviancy or their sexual sin, as if they're not coming from a position of authority as a university, as those people committed to a biblical worldview founded and grounded in the scriptures. They've even engaged in what some call language or terminology surrender, in that they're talking about conversations as if we're discussing whether the weather is too hot or we need to adjust the thermostat in our home. They're using terminology. They're legitimizing the notion that you can be a woman trapped in a man's body or a man trapped in a woman's body. They talk about dissonance, but they fail to state the problem in biblical terms. This document almost sounds like a document you would get from a DEI department in a secular institution or a large corporation that had succumbed to the culture. Documents go on to say this. Helpful resources for students processing their faith and sexuality and or gender include the Dwelling, Spiritual Direction, Pastoral Care, and Biola Counseling Center. If you look up the Dwelling, it says this about itself. The Dwelling aims to be a caring and supportive community where students who identify as LGBTQ or experience same-sex attraction can follow Jesus together as they seek to navigate their sexuality and gender in allegiance to Christ by the power of the Spirit, living in accordance with Biola's community standards on sexual behavior. Students who are interested in joining the Dwelling may contact Chad Miller at the.dwelling@biola.edu or call 562-777-4041. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. Students who identify as LGBTQ. So this isn't students who are struggling in Christ against these temptations against same-sex attraction or LGBTQ. No, these are students who already are all in. The university has accepted these as legitimate. Biola has legitimized these things in writing as a matter of policy, despite their orthodox statement of faith. They use the language of LGBTQ. They've adopted the terminology and the lexicon of the culture. The battle, so to speak, is over. Things have happened gradually and then suddenly in the space of 10 years. Think about it. 10 years ago, staff was uncomfortable with holding the biblical standard for fear that being required to affirm that if they didn't believe it would cost them their jobs, if they didn't believe that marriage was between one man and one woman. Gradually, but suddenly, I submit to you the problem began long before 2015. Or Biola wouldn't have needed to tighten up its terminology. They knew something was amiss. They could probably see that in other institutions like Azusa Pacific University. But now in 2025, Biola bears little resemblance to itself in terms of how it expresses itself about the sins so prevalent in the surrounding culture. I suppose outwardly they still have chapels, good chapel speakers. They still got some very good professors, some very good men there, some very good men and women there. However, the die appears to be cast. And I would submit to you that those who can't accept the new regime, so to speak, will be asked to leave. They won't be shown humility. They won't be shown courage and acceptance and prayerfulness. They'll be shown the door. Unless they tacitly approve this through their silence, they will be forced to condone this or leave. Now, unless you think I'm alone in my concerns, there have been a number of influencers, Christian speakers, podcasters who have taken note of this change as well. Alisa Childers is one. And in a recent statement she wrote based on something that she had said in her podcast, she said this, in a recent podcast, I stated I cannot recommend parents send their students to Biola. Many people wrote in to ask me why and to explain. Here's a start from Biola's statement on sexuality, states this. And then she read that same quote that I gave you a moment ago. Students desiring to live in Biola-owned housing will be placed based on their sex at birth. However, issues connected to sexuality and gender are complex and layered. We will walk with students on an individual basis who identify as transgender or experience dissonance with their biological sex and gender in order to provide helpful support, to arrive at decisions around facilities use, and to offer appropriate accountability. We also ask that transgender individuals refrain from the process of medical transition during their time at Biola. From The Chimes, Biola's online student-run newspaper, Childers quotes this, "The dwelling is a Biola-sanctioned place where students who are LGBTQ or are who experience same-sex attraction can come together for community and support as they walk with Jesus at Biola. Members of the dwelling usually hold diverse theological perspectives on sexuality. Some members hold an affirming position while others hold a non-affirming view." She goes on to say, "Biola still has good and faithful people there, but I cannot recommend it as a safe place to send your kids." Notice the surrender where they talk about diverse theological perspectives, like about right and wrong. Maybe there's diverse theological perspectives about you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not covet, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. Maybe there are diverse theological understandings of these texts as well. Let's be honest, a common sense natural reading of the text reveals from the Bible that homosexuality, transgender behavior, whatever you want to call it, is contrary to biblical truth. It is in opposition to the scriptures. It is in opposition to God, and you cannot hold those positions with a straight face if you read your Bible honestly. And the Bible Institute of Los Angeles should understand this. But once again, it seems like Biola, like Wheaton, like Fuller Seminary, like Azusa Pacific University, like Westmont College, has drifted and is drifting. And mercifully, these things don't go unnoticed. Wheaton has drifted for decades, so much so that the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Billy Graham's estate removed his library and papers from the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton. Now, everybody tried to play nice with this transition. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association said, at last the library has come home to North Carolina. But the truth is, these papers and his library had been at the Billy Graham Center, built for that purpose, since 1980, almost 40 years. And they announced in March of 2019 they'd be removing those papers, and they removed them as soon as June that same year. This is how institutions die, gradually and then suddenly, because eventually they'll begin losing donor support. Liberals, theological liberals, we're not talking politics here, those who don't take the Bible seriously, eventually become secularist, and it's a lot cheaper to go to a secular state-funded institution than to pay the kinds of tuition you pay at Biola if you're not seeking a religious education. And if you open your standards loosely enough, wide enough, the people who have a biblical worldview will leave and go somewhere else, and you will die a slow and painful death and perish as an institution gradually and then suddenly. A recent article in Christianity Today magazine, which has gone liberal gradually and then suddenly under Russell Moore's leadership, but really before that too, commented about the closing of Christian schools, colleges, universities, and seminaries this way. In New York, the King's College and Nayak College, most recently called Alliance University, have folded along with Nebraska Christian College, Lincoln Christian University, Judson College, Trinity International University, and Iowa Wesleyan University in the Midwest, Concordia University in Portland, Oregon, and frankly, there's too many more to list. All these were once bustling of activity. Now they are closed. Well, the truth is, every institution comes with an expiration date, just like a human being. We all die one day. But the truth is, many of these institutions died because they abandoned biblical fidelity. They became loosey-goosey, to use a technical term, in their theology and their grasp on biblical truth, and they perished. God took his hand off of them. Bible-believing parents no longer sent their children there, and they died. And that's a good thing. And if Biola continues on this path, I hope it dies suddenly rather than gradually, because it will have abandoned the Christian faith. I know that sounds harsh, but that's the way it is. Now, the question arises, what is a parent to do? If I send my child to a Christian institution that is increasingly liberalizing, they might fall prey to the teaching of a professor who is unorthodox or unbiblical in his beliefs, and having lowered their guard because they feel safe, they will succumb to that type of influence. So should I send my child to a secular institution where they know they can experience a full frontal assault on their faith, but they know it's coming and they know from whence it comes? My answer to that question is this. If your child is going to pursue a meaningful university education, find the top three or four institutions that you can afford and that have the highest quality education. If there are two or three Christian institutions among them, or even one or two, then look at those institutions, examine their statements of faith, talk to people there, find alumni that you might know, but in each and every case, Christian university or secular university, find at least two good churches there and call the pastors, read their statements of faith, visit there if you can, connect your child there, and then pick the best institution that you can afford where the best Bible teaching church is. Church first, university second, because they need to be held accountable, they need to be protected, they need to be shepherded. And campus ministries like CRU or InterVarsity are no longer what they used to be. They are quite liberal, quite gay-affirming. They have fallen prey to the culture long ago. So you want to find a good church home for them first, and then the best university after that, so that they can be protected, they can be shepherded, they can go to young adults or student ministry groups, they can be in small groups, rather than just cut adrift with Christian chapels at Christian universities that really aren't so Christian anymore, and that bring in questionable speakers like Biola does, like Trinity did, like Bethel University did and does. And so you want to be careful, because the name Christian on the label really doesn't mean what it used to mean. Keep these things in mind. The Christian label means almost nothing anymore in the educational realm. Go to their website, see if they have DEI person on staff. That tells you all you need to know there. So be discerning, parents. It's not easy. I understand that. But you've got to be so discerning, and you cannot trust in the past reputation of these schools like Biola or Bethel University or Trinity International University or Wheaton or Azusa Pacific or Westmont. The world has changed, and you have to be on your toes for the sake of your children, for the sake of the gospel, for the cause of Christ. And if you're looking for a text of scripture that I think adequately describes what went wrong, here it is in 2 Corinthians 6:12 and forward. These schools lost track of who their true partners were or should be. Paul writes, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Therefore, go out from among their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord." These institutions have partnered with the culture. They have lost sight of their mission. Now the question arises, are there any good universities or institutions out there for Christians? And I believe that there are. There are still some that hold to biblical integrity. I will name a few, but not all of them, because I'm not smart enough to know them all. One that comes to mind is Boyce College in Louisville, Kentucky. Another is Judson College in Wake Forest, North Carolina. There is Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. There is the Masters University in Newhall, California. And let's not forget a stalwart Cedar University in Cedarville, Ohio. These are a few that are still good, that provide solid education, and that also hold fast to biblical worldview and biblically based standards in terms of their stated theology and the reality of their application of biblical principles in an uncompromising yet loving way. Before I wrap this up, let me just add one other thing. We talk about loving the sinner and hating their sin, and we talk about showing love. Is it love to affirm a sinner in their sin as they stand condemned before a holy God, practicing the things which God labels as an abomination to him? Is it loving to create an environment where they can feel safe with a very dangerous worldview that threatens their eternity? I don't think so. And it grieves me to say the things that I've said in this podcast. But sadly, these things are true. Well, I think I've said enough for now. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, share it with a friend, or share it with a friend who's thinking about sending their child off to a Christian institution. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, sign on to whatever podcast platform website that you listen through and like us. Give us a 5-star rating. Write a sentence or two. It helps us with the algorithm. If you have questions, you can email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com, keithcrosby@yahoo.com. In the meantime, may God bless you and God keep you.